Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, we interview Heather and Paul Christensen. They're the founders of Thin Line Relationships. They help first responders, people in the health field, military personnel, couples who have a member that are in any of those services and the struggles that they face. And they help them because they are them. So stay tuned, hear their story, and learn more about it.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin, and we are going to dive right in because we have two guests that we think are going to be just offer a lot of like really great information. And like us, they are doing what they're doing because of coming out of their own stuff and learning the lessons that they had to learn together. So I'd like to introduce you all to Heather and Paul Christensen. They are the founders, the owners of Thin Line Relationships. And what they do is they work with couples who have one or both members of the couple are first responders, military, healthcare, really any job that is super high stress. And because there are just unique challenges that those couples face. And the two of you face these unique challenges because, Paul, you were a first responder for years. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
And kind of your story folds into it. So first, just welcome Heather and Paul. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys. We are so excited to be with you guys today.
So one of the first questions we always ask is why and how, right? We went through a really difficult time and we had both been therapists and we were just compelled, like we have got to help other couples because if we're having this difficult of a time and we have the knowledge and skills and we still can't figure it out, like that is what our why was. So how did you guys get to this point?
So for me, I think that it was one of those where I just kind of started to realize I was working with people, coaching people for traumatic stress issues, and we just had all these tools that we were doling out to other folks, but not investing in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it took us getting to the point of being divorced before we realized that we needed to utilize those tools for us as well.
And you guys have been together how long?
So we have been together now about 15 years.
About 15 years since you met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And our story together kind of started about 3 years into our relationship where things kind of started going off the wire. I just finished nursing school. He was just starting paramedic school and we just found out we were having twins. Huh. So we were like going through all these crazy things that these families do.
Yeah.
Plus shift work. So you add school and family life and shift work into that. And we were just like drowning, overwhelmed, zero communication, running on like no sleep, working for 48 hours plus at a time. And me and the nursing field working, you know, crazy nights or mid shifts. And so we were just going through a lot of it. And that kind of continued for about the next 7 years. Mm-hmm. And it didn't get any better. And so we found that a lot of couples in these high stress jobs that are in like life-saving careers go through all the same things. You don't really know what to talk to your spouse about because it's kind of just like work. You're exhausted, which brings a whole nother element into home life and relationships and managing kids and their schedules of baseball or football or dance and trying to get kids everywhere, but your spouse is not there and they're getting held over on shifts. So you never really know when the other person is going to get home and be able to stay home. And so that's kind of where we were for a long time.
So you guys were in survival mode. You guys were in total survival mode for 7+ years.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to say we survived that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you guys end up getting divorced.
We get divorced.
Yeah.
And there was kind of this turning point for me where I didn't really know who I was anymore. Like we had been in survival mode for so long that it was like, I didn't know. I knew like what I valued, but what was showing up was not that.
Yeah.
And it's hard to expect that from your partner when you're not bringing what you need to a relationship and then expecting them to be like, yeah, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And when you're married to somebody else in those high stress jobs,
yeah,
like they're in the same boat. And so we kind of lost ourselves of who we were and who we brought to the relationship. And so I kind of had a turning point where I was like, why is this pattern continuing to happen to us, to me personally,
yeah,
in my relationships? And I was like, that aha moment, like,
yeah,
I need to go and look deeper inside. And that kind of started our experience of bringing us back together, creating our program. And now, like, we're doing amazing.
Well, so give us, like, you know, because couples love to hear the story of other couples who were in their struggle, right? Like, because then it's like, oh, we're not crazy, or we're not the only people that are effed up here, right? So, like, give us, like, some real, like, what was that? I think you used the word chaos, or, you know, what was that like? Like, what did it look like? Like, what are the things that you guys experience? And now when you hear other couples who are both in the medical field, who are both in high stress jobs, what are those dynamics going on in the relationship?
So I think for me, one of the biggest things that I noted was when we started working on reassembling our relationship and trying to kind of build that in the direction of marriage, I was just kind of looking at some of the folks like at work, and I came to the realization that there was not very many of them that were married to their first spouse when they had started in the career. Mm. And so I started digging into it a little bit more, and the percentage of divorce within public safety alone, not including the healthcare component, is almost at 90%.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
And that's just, to me, that just seemed crazy, right?
Yeah.
So I started talking to a lot of people at work, kind of asking some questions about where they were on stuff. And a lot of those people, interestingly enough, stated that, well, I heard numerous times, I really wish I could have worked it out with my first spouse. Yeah. And so that was kind of an aha moment for me, where it was like, okay, what are the outlying factors that are weighing into these relationships and causing these people to split up? Mm-hmm. And what is the effect that's occurring when they're splitting up with their family?
Yeah.
What's going on with their kids? Where are they at on that? And most,
yeah,
everybody that I talked to was kind of, I don't want to say bitter about where things were, but it had definitely impacted their livelihood as far as how they feel, even in their current relationships.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an interesting learning curve as far as that.
Yeah. I mean, what we've seen in working with this population over the years is honestly like infidelity.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of substance abuse, a lot of domestic violence, of like craziness in the house, of like people whose nervous systems are fried out, you know, and are just, you know, they keep it together sort of at work, which is crazy, right? Because these are the people who are the most calm, cool, and collective,
right?
When you've been shot, when you're, you know, when you just got into a car wreck, when your life is chaos, you guys are the ones who keep your shit together and and save us. But then at home, it seems that's where it sort of falls apart.
It does.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does, for sure. And you're coming home to like a spouse that is exhausted because that partner has been gone for who knows how long. And they've been dealing with all the emotions of the kids, trying to deal with their own emotions, mm-hmm, of just like everyday life. And the stress of wondering if your like first responder, your public safety person is going to come home. So it's like anytime you hear that, oh, there was a police involved shooting or a house on fire or a firefighter got trapped somewhere, you're always like, could it have been my spouse? And so you're kind of always on alert as the spouse at home.
Yeah.
And just, it can feel very overwhelmed because you have to run the schedule. Like, you never know when that other person's going to walk into it.
And the hope is, right, and I'm sure this is where you're at now and we'll get to that, but the hope is that like, wow, you've had this stressful, crazy day filled with so much stuff that you can come home and find a respite in your partner's arms, but you didn't have that happening because you're coming home to even a more stressful environment. So then what does that look like? Like when you guys were at the end towards divorce, were you talking? Were you not talking? Were you fighting? Were you sleeping in separate bedrooms? Like how did you get to that point? And then you said, this is not sustainable.
Well, yes, all of that.
Okay.
Our communication became awful. In most cases, you know, when we would try to talk things through, we would typically end up fighting. We both had like developed interests in other people. Okay. Like, you know, you kind of address the infidelity portion of that. There is a lot of problems associated with public safety employment with infidelity, as is there is with healthcare workers and military personnel. So we did start kind of working our way down that path. Mm-hmm. I think that it was, you know, we just kind of got to a point where we realized that that was not what we wanted.
Yeah.
When you find the person that you kind of want to settle in with, the chaos continues to build and it just becomes this frustrating thing. So like any time that I would come off shift and go home, I almost didn't want to go home.
Yeah.
And there was numerous times where I would just like go camping or do something else completely by myself because I just needed the time away to be able to decompress and process my own thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. So it ends up where you guys end up getting divorced.
Yes.
What brings you back together and what begins the path of coming back together in a, you know, in a way where it felt good, where it was sustainable, where you could have the relationship that you wanted to have with one another?
So I kind of took some initiative. And for me, I was just doing a lot of soul searching and called him up because we were still really not talking. We were exchanging kids and that was going okay, but not great. Because mm-hmm. even when you have kids and you get divorced, they're still having a crazy schedule. So you don't do a standard every other weekend and once a week, you know, type of visitation. It is still all over the place. So if you can't figure it out while you're married and you think it's going to be easier when you're divorced to try to figure out how to get kids to accommodate this crazy schedule on visitation, it's not.
Yeah.
So we were kind of doing that. And then, like I was saying, I had kind of like this aha moment where I was like, what patterns do I continue to show up and bring to a relationship? And I don't want to carry that into another one because we didn't think we were ever going to get back together.
Yeah.
So I just took him and I said, I just need to tell you. And I think that people need to do this, especially like what I appreciate about you and what you brought to the relationship, because in the end, it can be really easy for you to just hate everything and say that they were like the worst person ever forever, you know, like they were never a good person, but we want to get married if we really thought that. So it was kind of going back to the basics of what do you appreciate about that person? What are they bringing into the relationship?
Yeah.
And we had this really, it was more one-sided where I was just speaking and just said, please let me just say what I need to say to you. And he listened and like the next week was like, wow. And it like really shifted the whole energy of how we were communicating about our kids, how we were communicating together. Like our trust was gone. There was zero trust left in our relationship. But I was surprised at how quickly we rebuilt that once we could actually have a solid foundation of having a safe space to talk to that person without you opening your mouth and they're like, you're attacking me. And you're like, that's not my intention. And so creating a safe space, what is like the very first thing, because you can't move past it if you don't feel emotionally secure and safe.
So you start with like appreciation.
Yeah.
And so and then that creates some space where you guys are now in kind of a different energy field, and then take us from there. Cause I'm imagining that you have to build a lot of emotional safety to be able to handle triggers that were previously in that relationship. So you start with the appreciation. Paul's like, okay, maybe I can trust this. Like, take us into your process.
So for me in this particular situation, when she came and talked to me about that stuff, it's kind of funny because from her perspective, she was like, we'll never get back together.
Yeah.
From my perspective, I was hoping that we would. So it was kind of, we talked about stuff, which is what we do with people that we coach. We try and establish that common ground again, because like Heather was saying, when people don't get married just because they met somebody, they get married because they intimately know the person.
Yeah.
So at one point when we were going through our hard times, I actually asked Heather, I said, what is it that you love about me? And she just gave me a blank stare.
Yeah.
Like she couldn't list not even one thing that she liked or appreciated or loved about me as a human being.
Wow.
So we started our program with that being kind of the precursor to it. Mm. So it's trying to get people back to the basics of why they fell in love with the person in the first place. And then how can we bring kind of a reintroduction of those emotions and feelings back into the equation? Because without that, there's no way to rebuild trust. And usually when we coach people, that is one of the biggest factors that they bring to the table is neither of them trust each other anymore.
Yeah.
So you're coming back to shared values, what you love about each other, like baseline stuff.
Mm-hmm. How you were showing up in the beginning of that relationship. A lot of it's about self-reflection as well.
Yeah.
Because you're just either a mom or, you know, just running around crazy and all you do is work. So you don't really even know. A lot of these people are really like lost and they don't even feel more than maybe a couple emotions in a daytime. So you got to get them to like reconnect with themselves and how they show up for themselves first.
Yeah.
We just want to tell you all about something that we offer, which is the Relationship Renovation at Home program. It's basically the way in which we've worked with couples for years in our counseling center, but a way that you and your partner can do it at home.
It gives couples structure to build that emotional safety and the skills that we didn't learn, but that are so essential to learn in building a healthy relationship.
Yeah, there's lessons, there are videos. It's a real structured way for you and your partner to reconnect. So just go to our website. There's a tab on top, online programs, and you can download a free sample. We know it's made a significant difference in hundreds of couples' relationships, so please go check that out. I mean, it sounds like a part of it, though, was you said, yeah, I didn't even want to come home, you know, because there's such conflict at home, right? And I would assume that there was also like a healing or an understanding of like, how has my job like kind of fried out my central nervous system, right? Like, was there other healing for each of you around, you know, around post-traumatic stress disorder, around anxiety, around like, you know, the things that, because you can sort of, you can work on communicating better, but if your central nervous system's completely, you know, not working properly, it's like, how do you handle when it gets a little bit complex?
So I think that's a pretty accurate assessment. I mean, by the time you get 10 to 15 years on the job as a first responder, you think, feel, and function differently. As part of that, you have to really, you've just got to kind of dig down and be able to evaluate where you're at and where you need to be going. That is a difficult ask for a lot of people that are burned out on the job.
Yeah.
We start seeing with our male groups, as far as people in the fire service in particular, the police department as well, they burn off their testosterone. So a large portion of these people are having to do like testosterone injections and stuff like that.
Wow.
So it changes your physiology as far as what's going on inside your body, not just inside your brain, but the whole package. So you've got to find ways to be able to root that back to the foundation of things to be able to create a driving force for you to continue to go down that pathway. Nobody wants initially to evaluate themselves and look at what it is that they're bringing to the table, whether it's right or wrong. But we kind of have to, like, that's how we build the blocks to be able to make everything happen.
Yeah.
Is we've got to take a look and see what those stressors are, look and see what your mindset is, where are you at as far as the process of being burned out on the job. It's a big ask. Most jobs are wanting 25 years out of their employees at a minimum in public safety, and you can usually spot the people that are over 20 years. They're the ones who are tired. So they, you know, it's really getting people to agree that we've got to rebuild from ground zero.
Well, and it does sound like not only are you helping couples get back to their like grounded place of what they value in each other and themselves, but you're also bringing a ton of psychoeducation within the first responder field around why they might have acted in that way.
Yeah.
So there can be more of that forgiveness, letting go, understanding, and then moving differently. Because I know, like, first responders I've worked with, like, they don't even know there's PTSD until they're sitting in front of someone professionally, like, oh, like, has anyone ever talked to you about your nightmares? Or because there's such a stigma that there's something wrong with you if you can't deal with what you're doing in the daytime or nighttime. Or
yeah. How do you fold that into when you're working with a couple of, like, not just like helping them with their relational stuff,
yeah,
but helping them identify, like, hey, what is like the psychological toll that your 10, 15, 20 years on the job has had on you? And let's be honest, a lot of the people also who end up in as first responders, they're used to stress. They had stressful childhoods. You know, yeah. They're in it because they're sort of conditioned in some ways to be in chaos.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first thing that we've kind of established as far as our coaching program is when we're dealing with first responders and healthcare workers that are still on the job, it's not considered a post-traumatic stress because it is still trauma and stress that is in their daily life.
That's so, yeah.
As part of that, it's teaching them how to deal with that trauma and stress in a way that I think a lot of us are conditioned to deal with it with our fire department or police department family, which we spend a third of our life with. And we don't take that information that we've learned about how to overcome some of the things that we see and deal with home and use it in our personal lives. Yeah. So like we sit around the fire station and we'll talk about calls that we've run, things that we've had, some dark sense of humor to be able to put some stuff to bed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily get rid of the nightmares, but on the back end of that, we leave that stuff at the fire station. So the bad things that we feel inside, we bring home, and then we're trying to structure things in our home life based off from things that are inaccurate as far as our brain's process that we've picked up along the way at the station, or if we're out, you know, on patrol or something like that.
So what is like the new approach that you would suggest to, like, you know, someone who's been in 5 years, 7 years, like they haven't been in long, and you're seeing sort of the old way of like, you don't bring anything home, you just talk about it. What's sort of the new way? Like how, because that's such an interesting thing. It's not post-traumatic stress because they're still stressed every day. They're still experiencing trauma every day. So what do you say to that younger person in the field?
Yeah. And there's still trauma that is triggered. There's a lot of triggers because if you frequent the area that you work in and you've had a child die at this certain spot and it was a horrible car accident and now you're driving past it every day. Like there's always these triggers. So the most important thing is like when they come home, that's their safe haven.
Yeah.
You have to create an environment that these responders want to come home to and not like when you walk in the door and you're like, you were supposed to be home 2 hours ago. Where are you? I've got plans for you. You know what I mean? And so when they walk into that environment in the house, we cannot be after them because of all the things. We don't know what they went through. And they, on the other side, don't know what the spouse has been through either. So it's, we talk about a lot of things. We talk about patterns, what your daily pattern is in life, what your values are that you value, because those are the glasses that you see the world in, is what you value, what your belief system is. So it's not just like a one size fits all, but there are similarities between those things as well as like the blame game. You'll see a lot of my day was harder than your day. I was home with the kids and it was crazy and they're potty training and they're whatever. And the other responders like, well, I was involved in a shooting or I was, you know, somebody died and then, or we did a cardiac arrest and, you know, like there's all those life-saving triggers too. And so when you bring them back together in the home, that has to be a safe haven. It's got to be a place where that person feels like they can let down their guard a little bit and not be criticized and told all the things that they've done wrong.
Tara and I are going to take a pause right now in our conversation to share some important information about some things we're doing here at Relationship Renovation. We are launching a private coaching program where we're going to take on 8 couples and we're going to work directly with the two of you. It's Tara and I together. We're going to be meeting with you for sessions. We're going to work through the relationship renovation model. And there's a few other ways in which we're going to work with you that I think are going to be like super effective.
So get ready for the we transformation. We can handle this. We can communicate with compassion even through difficult times, and we can feel more deeply intimately connected.
So if you're interested, all you got to do is reach out to us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. We'll schedule a 30-minute discovery call. We'll hear about what's going on for you guys. We'll tell you about how we're going to work with you. Again, we're only taking 8 couples, so reach out to us, coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, as soon as possible.
We really cannot wait to begin this journey with you. Yeah.
It's got to... just can't be that environment anymore. So there is a lot of things that we work on, but it's the little things that you don't have big things anymore. Once you kind of get this little foundation honed in on, then it's not, you can talk about the big things because the big things don't happen anymore.
Yeah.
You're taking care of it at a small level. So to those people that are coming in at 5 and 7 years, you've got to catch it then. Don't wait till you're, you know, 20 years in. And it's a huge blown out of proportion thing, or suicide. We've dealt with suicide on his crew in his firehouse. Yeah. You know, we got to talk about it.
Well, because it's like you already are dealing with so much, and then you come home and it's not a safe haven. And I can imagine, like, when you get to the point of suicide, just like the loneliness and powerlessness you feel. So I love that you start with this, creating this environment of like, we're a team and I've got you. So when you come home, we are in each other's care.
Absolutely.
You know, whatever that looks like, because like you said, every situation is unique. But here's what I think when I'm like listening to all of this. It's so many skills that we don't learn. And I think so many couples like feel like they're uniquely broken. Like, God, we just couldn't do this. And it's like, it's a skills thing. Like, you've got to set it up and you've got to get really good at having some kind of system, structure, communication, because otherwise things get under us. And then like, I mean, you guys survived in chaos for years. And so much so that right now you're helping so many other couples. And I can feel how much passion you have for this. And I love this because I think it's still really scary for people in this field to reach out for support. I mean, we have military people contacting our counseling center like, this isn't going to show up on my record, right? Because like, what if I lose my job? Like, it's a terrifying thing.
Yeah.
So I love that you guys are doing this. I do. I love that you're using your own experience, your own train wreck of a relationship, knowing what went wrong, building the skills to make it right, and now helping other people.
No, that's great. So part of the building blocks that we utilize is when we get through kind of that establishing or reestablishing some of those things.
Yeah.
We work on boundaries, like what's acceptable to talk about. There is kind of a hang up in public safety, certain arenas in public safety versus other arenas in public safety and healthcare, mm-hmm. where some of the things we can't necessarily talk about. And so we try to help people understand that, like, we can talk about all of these things that happen through the course of our day with our spouse. It's just how we go about it, right? Like, we can't disclose any sort of private information right. about who it was or really kind of what happened, but we can offload some of that stuff. So it's just setting up boundaries of what's acceptable. How much does she want to hear about my day?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's a huge thing. There were numerous times when we've been together and she's like, I don't want to know about what you do. And that's
earmuffs.
not the best approach. Like, we've learned that really, you know, it may be hard for her to hear some of those things, but it's also hard for me to say some of those things.
Yeah.
So we have to establish that trust.
Yeah. And it goes both ways too. Cause I had a client also tell me, and he was ex-military. He was like, there are certain things I never want to tell my wife. I never want her to know that. But then we dove deeper into it, and it was like, well, you know, yeah, okay, I can, I hear that and I respect that. But at the same time, then what's the cost of carrying that?
Exactly.
You know, because most of the time, like, who he was processing it with were other guys who just were sort of in the same boat as him. Was like they didn't totally understand the effect that it had had on them. So then the process wasn't evolving. And I think that's where, you know, coaches, therapists, where it comes into play is like, okay, if one partner doesn't want to hear it, another partner doesn't want to say it, well, then you got to take it someplace where you can make some sense of it. Because just keeping it tucked away is not a sustainable solution.
Sure. And that's kind of the direction that we found ourselves in 7 years down the road.
Yeah.
Right? Like we had been making connections with other people that were in like-minded industry and venting to those people. And the problem with that is we didn't build our connection in that process. We built connections with other people, which then ended up being other people of the opposite gender, which then escalated to, holy crap, now we've got a huge problem.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to find somebody that you can vent to, but it may not necessarily be the appropriate person to have that conversation with.
Yeah.
And so we try and refocus that where there's a level of comfort for the responder or the healthcare worker to be able to talk to their spouse. They've established some boundaries of things that they want to know. And just like you were saying, I mean, how long can they carry that stuff if they can't offload it? So there's got to be a mutual agreement of what someone else is willing to hear about their day or about their career and what's acceptable, because every little bit that we can offload is just less that we have to carry it into the next shift or into the next day.
And you'll find that these responders don't have a plethora of emotions either. They're like numb.
Yeah.
They are angry or fearful. Some just don't speak at all. Like you'll talk to families and the spouse says, my husband just doesn't say anything ever. Yeah. So he doesn't get angry. He doesn't have an outlet that way, but they just don't say anything. So either way, it's not effective communication.
Yeah.
And they don't feel anything.
Yeah, just shut down. I know. We have feelings wheels in every office. Like you have to identify at least three feelings today. No, that's a thought, not a feeling. So, okay. So for couples listening, what have you noticed with the coaching you've done within this framework that you guys have developed? Like, what have you noticed? Give us the positives. Give us the fruit of the labor. Yes.
Oh, I got you on this one. So one thing that we noticed out of the people that we've coached that is, I think, a positive for us as coaches is they are not so distant from the relationship that we once had. Mm. It is almost, as much as I hate to say the cookie cutter side of things, it is uncanny the number of problems that they have that we share exact similarities between what we have been through.
Yeah.
We're all kind of cut from the same cloth, you know, like we're all willing to take the same risks for the same thing for people that we've never met before. And so we just kind of relate in similar patterns. I had a fire chief once that told me that the things that, that get first responders in trouble is drugs, alcohol, sex, and sex. And I kind of joked about it with him, was like, oh, come on, man. And lo and behold, like, as I've gone through and talked to other people from, you know, different working environments, it's so true. So we all follow these same patterns. And I think that there's just not previously been somebody to sit back and say, that's okay.
Wow.
Here's how you actually can follow this pattern and have success in the process.
I love it. You guys are living examples that it can happen.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Well, tell us, I mean, how do couples, how do they connect with you? What are sort of the services you guys are offering to couples currently?
So you can follow us with Facebook or Instagram. Those link to our site. We go to the stations or things like that and do public speaking with them or exercises, masterminds, date nights. Mm. Those are fun. Or we do two-on-two coaching, right? Husband and wife coaching, where we'll coach couples together. And then we take them individually and work on things individually, because you can't bring all the mess individually into making it work together if you can't figure your own stuff out. So a lot of this is a personal work that we get to bring back together. And what's so cool and exciting is to see how far these couples come in just a short period of time, 8-9 weeks of where they were like not communicating, but now they are, and they're together, and just hearing their stories, how they've just changed and developed over just a short period of time is so fun.
So first of all, I love the name Thin Line Relationships.
Yep.
Because it's so true. You're walking on a thin line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love that you offer hope for the hopeless. And that's like when people feel that hope, right? That's where that change can happen quickly, which is what you guys are seeing.
Yeah. It is the coolest thing.
Yeah.
So we will definitely link out on our show notes how people can get directly in touch with you. And I know we just kind of like, we hit the tip of the iceberg, I know, with you guys. But I just think it's important to let people know that, one, the struggles that they might be going through as first responders, as people who work in stressful jobs, are like, it's normal. It's normal in its abnormality.
Yeah.
And that there's people out there who've been through it that are willing to help, are able to help them. And so we certainly want to hook anybody up in our audience who's interested in talking to Heather and Paul more about what they're doing and hear your story more, I'm sure, which would be super useful for people.
And even just agencies. Like, I love that you guys are getting out in the community and doing role plays and all of that to, like, help to put it out there that, like, it is okay to take care of your mental health. It's actually a priority in order for you to be okay within your family and within your job.
Well, and these are the people who are keeping us safe.
Yes.
You know, these are the people who are protecting our country, who are protecting us out on the roads, you know, who are getting us to hospitals, who are treating us.
Yeah.
You know, that these are the people who are taking care of us. So we definitely want to give as many resources and help to those people because you deserve it. You know, thank you guys for both what you do. And thank you now for what you do now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We love it. We are super passionate about helping others find their truth and making this relationship thrive.
Well, thank you so much for all of the work you do. I'm so glad we got to just meet each other and you have come into our lives, and for all of the, just the work you do with other couples who are really struggling. Like, we know that well, and it came from our own story. Yours came from your own story. So thank you for being so vulnerable and open and sharing and now helping others. Again, we'll put all of that stuff in our show notes. And as always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Are we?